You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, astronomers had never observed a black hole and a neutron star colliding until UW-Milwaukee scientists helped make the discovery this year. We'll talk to one of the researchers about what they found and what it can teach us. Now, private companies and their owners are making the move into space. Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos plans to make a trip into space next week on a ship made by his company Blue Origin, but fellow billionaire Richard Branson beat him there over the weekend. The owner of Virgin Galactic, Branson flew into space for several minutes and came down safely. While in the weightless zone, he had a message for a younger generation.
To all you kids down there, I was once a child with a dream, looking up to the stars. Now I'm an adult in a spaceship with lots of other wonderful adults looking down to our beautiful, beautiful Earth. To the next generation of dreamers, if we can do this, just imagine what you can do.
Both Branson and Bezos may offer the chance for people to visit space in the future. That could cost up to $250,000 per ticket. Meanwhile, Elon Musk's SpaceX has already sent astronauts to space and back. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of these private companies getting into space flight and space tourism? Should near and outer space be something that's shared and regulated by government agencies? Are you excited to see what private businesses can do? If you had the chance to go into space yourself, $250,000 to spare, would you make the flight? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Marina Corin is a staff writer covering space exploration for The Atlantic. Marina, welcome back to Central Time.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
All right, Branson up and down. Bezos scheduled to go next. Before we dig into the specifics, I mean, does this feel like this is a moment of change for how we think about going up out of Earth's atmosphere?
It really, really does. This is definitely a turning point in American spaceflight. Excuse the pun, but space tourism is really taking off this year. You have Bezos flying next week. Branson is, I'm sure, still kind of basking in the glow of having flown successfully to the edge of space and back. This is the world we're living in now. You know, you have spaceflight companies run by eccentric space billionaires, some of whom can decide to actually ride their systems right into space.
And let's talk about, maybe this is nitpicky, I don't know, but it seems like it's an argument in the astronaut and space community. What does it mean to be in space? How high would I have to go to be considered to be in space or in orbit?
This is a great question, and it's actually a surprisingly fraught question. you would think that we would all, as inhabitants of the planet Earth, be in agreement about where Earth ends and space begins. But people have different opinions. Virgin Galactic and Richard Branson, that camp, which actually includes NASA and U.S. military agencies, they say that space begins 50 miles up above the Earth's surface. Now, some international agencies and other groups, including Blue Origin and Jeff Bezos, they think that it starts 62 miles up. So, you know, if you ask Jeff Bezos today, did Richard Branson beat you to space? He would probably say no. So what Branson and Bezos are doing is they want paying customers to take these suborbital trips, which is very different from what Elon Musk is doing with SpaceX. He is actually going to put people into orbit to loop around the Earth. And, you know, he's done that already with NASA astronauts and taken them to the International Space Station. That's a completely different experience. I think if you're orbiting the Earth, I think everyone would agree in that case that you're definitely in space.
Now, you know, thinking back to the era of Right Stuff, these heroic astronauts taking their chances, going to space, new bold new frontiers and things like that. And now it's rich dudes showing off their technology. I don't know. Is this a letdown for how we're getting into space?
I would say that it's different. Like you said, the Right Stuff was like this set of secret sauce qualities that NASA astronauts had that made them almost these mythical figures. You know, they had something to them that made them worthy of not only working for NASA, but of also representing, you know, in the case of the Apollo moon missions, of representing humankind in a way. So the world is definitely at a point where there's a new vision of astronauts and who can become an astronaut and who decides. So, you know, it is going to be a lot of rich people for the foreseeable future, because, you know, Virgin Galactic ticket is very expensive, Blue Origin ticket, very expensive. But at the same time, you know, Jeff Bezos on his flight next week, he decided to bring with him an aviation legend, Wally Funk, and she's wanted to be an astronaut since the 1960s. She's 82 years old today, so this is a lifelong dream of hers. So, you know, the definition is changing. On the one hand, you do have the very wealthy being able to take these joyrides, but at the same time, you have the very wealthy inviting people, real people, to come along with them. It's definitely an interesting time.
Talking to Marina Corin from The Atlantic, where she covers space exploration, looking at the rich guy race to space. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have hopes that, yeah, maybe it's costly now, but this is going to pave the way for more common space exploration near and then maybe far? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's look at some of the technology here, Marina. This isn't what we might think of, the Richard Branson Virgin Galactic thing here. This isn't getting into space the way we might think of, with this big rocket blasting off from the ground. How did it launch?
Right. So Virgin Galactic does things a little differently. It's not the traditional picture that I think many people have of a rocket standing vertically on a launch pad, you know, along a coast with the ocean in the background and then just rising into the sky. What Virgin Galactic does, they actually have a giant carrier plane that carries a separate space plane to high up into the sky to about 50,000 feet. And at that point, when the time comes, this carrier plane basically drops the space plane, which sounds a little wild because that space plane a couple of days ago was carrying Richard Branson and a few Virgin Galactic employees and a couple of pilots. And so once that space plane is released, it ignites its own engines and then completes the rest of the journey up to just beyond the edge of space, and hurtles itself up there. Experience a couple of glorious minutes of weightlessness. And then this space plane glides back down to Earth and lands on a runway, which might be a bit, that part is a little bit familiar, I think, from people who remember the shuttle and how that landed. But it's a different system to the way, it's different from what Blue Origin and SpaceX are doing, which is a bit more like just shoot the rocket from the ground into space.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Marcus is with us in Milwaukee. Marcus, hi.
Hi. I'm sorry, but I personally feel that this whole thing is absurd beyond ridiculous. That we have billionaires flying into low Earth orbit just for bragging rights and just for one-upsmanship, when we actually have real problems facing the entire planet, including our whole the ecosystem pretty much across the planet, which is life for all of us. This is absolutely, absolutely ridiculous. If they want to experience a few minutes or a few seconds of weightlessness, go swim in a pool.
Marcus, thanks for the call. Marcus, not alone in that thought, I think, Marina, as I look around the internet, people saying there's a lot of money and effort for what, when we got bigger problems we could be spending our money on. How have these rich people going into space kind of tried to sell this idea to the rest of the world?
Right. Yeah, this is definitely a common criticism. And there was actually an online petition floating around, a lot of signatures, people saying that Jeff Bezos shouldn't come back from space. I mean, Marcus is definitely not alone in this, as you said. And I think it's I don't think the question is space travel or tackling Earth's problems. Like, I don't think it's an either or proposition, but I can completely understand why, you know, giving the timing, this is a bad look. And what Bezos and Branson have done is, they're very much aware of this argument, and they tried to tell people, you know, we want to make it cheaper to do this kind of space travel, and we want, you know, regular people to have this experience someday. Bezos and Branson are also philanthropists. Blue Origin just today donated a bunch of money to many, many scientific institutions and, organizations that support STEM careers. But at the same time, you know, they are their own people. They have their own fortunes. And I feel like we can't exactly depend on the billionaires to save the planet. You know, like, there are many other ways to look at that. But I completely understand the sentiment of, you know, why now? Why are they doing this now?
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Marina Corin right now from The Atlantic, where she covers space exploration. We're looking at trips by billionaires into space and what it means for private companies to get into the space game. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this a good thing? Are you glad to see this happen? Do you hope this paves the way for more and more affordable space travel or missions to, I don't know, Mars or back to the moon? Do you like seeing private business involved, or should it be run by public agencies like NASA? And if you had the cash to go on a space tourism flight, would you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk with Marina Corin of The Atlantic about private companies investing in space flights, with CEOs like Jeff Bezos and Richard Branson making trips into space, depending on how you define that, themselves. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Are you annoyed by these flights? Are you excited at the prospect for more humans in orbit and beyond? 800-642-1234 is the number to call or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go back to your calls. Deborah is with us in Winona. Deborah, hi.
Hi. I am wondering if your guest has any idea of how many tons of greenhouse gases these two space flights and making space a tourist destination is going to spew into the atmosphere. And I totally agree with the previous caller, Mark.
Deborah, thanks a lot for the call. Marina, do we know just a couple of flights here, but how much climate change emissions they might be putting out?
And this is a really good question. I wish I had the numbers. I'm not a climate reporter, but I think one way to think about this is, this is the second Virgin Galactic flight of the year. There might be two more by the end of this year. So let's say four flights this year. Compare that to how many airplane flights are happening this year. I mean, this is a tiny, tiny fraction. I think this becomes an important question once this industry, if this industry of space tourism scales up. And I think that it's still a long way away from that. You know, it's still dangerous. Richard Branson's flight on Sunday was actually still a test flight. You know, they have two more flights that they want to do before they put actual paying customers on board. So I think this will be an important question as more and more flights take place every year. I don't think we're at that point yet. And then it raises all kinds of interesting questions about, you know, if these space billionaires are trying to make space tourism like air travel, they're going to have to be they're going to have to subject themselves to a lot more regulation. So that could also play into, emissions coming out of these flights in the future.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We heard from Elizabeth in Verona, who asked, I understand that Virgin Galactic's mission did get taxpayer support, maybe in the millions. Elizabeth says, do we know more about that? So, Marina, does some government money still go into these projects that private companies are doing?
Yes, definitely. And I think it's a common misconception that, you know, it's these private companies versus NASA, that SpaceX is leapfrogging NASA. But the truth is that SpaceX wouldn't be where it is today without NASA and without taxpayer funding. So last year, when SpaceX put two astronauts into space for the very first time, they did that on NASA's behalf, but they also did it because NASA gave them a ton of money to develop this system. So, you know, these private companies benefit from government funding, and they will continue to in the future. For example, right now, you know, NASA wants to return Americans to the surface of the moon for the first time since 1972. And when they do that, they're going to go with a private company. Blue Origin and SpaceX have both pitched themselves to NASA, for landing technology to the moon. And it was a bit of a controversy earlier this year because NASA picked SpaceX and Blue Origin was not happy and decided to contest that decision. But, you know, these companies are very much in the game, and NASA, in a sense, needs them. And so it supports them and holds them up.
We are talking about near-Earth space flight by private companies and the people who own them. Marina Koren is with us from the Atlantic. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions. Again, 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Marina, are these companies, assuming they start selling these tickets, like, are they knocking on the door of actually making profits off of space tourism, or is that like something that's years away?
I think it will be profitable quickly. I mean, just when you look at the prices of these flights, a Virgin Galactic ticket right now costs $250,000. A SpaceX ticket costs $55 million. I mean, that's a bit more like all-inclusive. There are a couple of businessmen who are flying to the ISS later this year, $55 million each. That's a lot of money.
Wow. Let's go back to our callers now. Joe is with us in Star Lake. Joe, hi.
Yeah, hi. I'm fascinated by how people behave because of myths that are deeply embedded in the mind. And many of these people that are now making these trips, you know, and doing all this grew up in the age of Star Wars movies and so forth. And another movies that were very common then were alien movies, Close Encounter. Right now, we're having two stories that are kind of coming out about space. And one is coming out of the Pentagon and coming out of fighter pilots that can land on aircraft carriers, which is no easy feat. It's 60 Minutes, which I've always considered credible, about these things that fly with a technology far beyond anything we have. I'm wondering what the buzz is among the people working for Bezos and for, you know, these different folks about whether they think this is real and that there are any other kind of technology or visitations from other sources. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Joe, thanks for the call. Joe, referring to the release by the Pentagon of some videos and statements from fighter pilots of unidentified flying objects, which doesn't, again, I've mentioned it before, doesn't necessarily mean aliens. They're just unidentified. Marina, your thoughts on that, though, the connection there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the connection there, the caller mentioned, you know, sci-fi, Star Wars, you know, Bezos, Branson, and Musk, they were all heavily influenced by, you know, the moon landing, science fiction, and they, especially Musk, have these grand dreams of bringing humanity to Mars and making a home there. I'm curious to know what they think about these UFO reports, which, as you said, like, there's no indication right now to suggest anything of extraterrestrial origin. But I'm curious to know what they would think. But I think, you know, the way that their space ambitions are, like, we are going to be the aliens. Elon Musk wants to take people to Mars. In that case, we are very much the aliens.
Joe, thanks for the call. Tim joins us next now in Mount Horeb. Tim, hello.
Hi. I was going to say, I think this technology is a good idea. It's going to help jet propulsion. From the 60s, we know what we gained from all that technology. We're still living off it today. So I'm thinking it's a good thing, and it's only going to provide more renewable stuff in the future, aircraft and less fuel.
Tim, thanks a lot for the call. Marina, what do you think of that idea that this cutting edge stuff is going to have a good, as Tim says, a spillover effect?
Yeah, I think that's definitely possible. I mean, it's hard to predict, like, right here, right now, how what kind of benefits, you know, to technology these types of flights might have. I mean, of course, Branson and Bezos are kind of repeating the feats of NASA from the 1960s. But still, you know, when people criticize them and say, oh, why are these space billionaires doing them? I often think about the engineers and technicians and scientists who work at Virgin Galactic and Blue Origin and SpaceX, for whom, you know, they're doing cutting edge stuff. So I do think there are advancements being made in these fields, and it's hard to predict what kind of spillover benefits there might be, but I'm not going to say there are going to be no spillover benefits. There very well might be.
Thanks a lot for that call. Marina, looking to the future now, Branson's been up, Bezos is getting ready to go. Beyond that, what are the next steps in you know, these orbital flights or near orbital flights and space tourism that you're watching for?
Right. So definitely next week will be a big one with Bezos, his turn, taking his trip to space. And then after that, I'm looking ahead to mid-September, and that's when four people are scheduled to fly on a SpaceX vehicle into orbit. So there's no doubt whether they're in space or not, and spend potentially a couple of days looping around the Earth. And what's fascinating about this mission is that there is not a single NASA astronaut on that crew. It's going to be, you know, the first all civilian private space flight. One of the passengers has a pilot experience, and he's actually a very wealthy tech entrepreneur, and he bought the entire ride and chose who else was going to come with him. So that's coming up in mid-September, classic launch from Cape Canaveral in Florida, and that should be pretty exciting because, you know, some of these vehicles are extremely autonomous now, which is scary to think about. And occasionally does maybe gives the false impression that any of this is safe. I think that's one takeaway that I hope your listeners have from this is that spaceflight, whether you're going to the edge of space or into orbit, is still very dangerous and it's not routine at all.
That said, Marina, I got to ask you, report on space, given the opportunity, would you want to report from space?
I mean, that would certainly be a heck of a dateline, wouldn't it? Like from orbit, I think... Oh my gosh, it would stress my family out so much, and I don't want to leave my cat behind, so I'd have to think about it.
Very fair. Well, I'm prone to motion sickness. I think I would probably be disqualified for that. Marina, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for the conversation.
That's Marina Corin, staff writer covering space exploration at The Atlantic. She joined us to talk about private companies, Virgin Galactic, Blue Origin, SpaceX, getting into space tourism and what that means for the future of space travel.